Morning. Happy to see everyone that's here today and appreciate your presence. And we say oftentimes appreciate the presence of the Lord. These are those that know the worth of prayer to pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. Last Sunday, we talked a little bit about our blind side, that all of us have a side of us that we can't see. And the Lord gives us other people to help us out. Sin has had an impact on every person's life, no matter who you are. I know that there are some here that got saved at a very young age, but just the fact that sin around us affects us, and we need the Lord to help us. And the Lord gives us other people, people that are around us to give us a reflection of who we are. And there are things about us that the Lord wants to adjust and the Lord wants to change, right? And so the way that this happens is that He often allows us maybe to brush up against other people, right? No matter who you are, no matter how sanctified you are, there are going to be some people, some things that you're going to have to work on your own yourself. And so we want to start there because we want to continue on into not just talking about a blind side, but blinded minds. I want us to turn to, if you will with us, turn to, we're going to take our text out of the 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, but I want to start reading in the 3rd chapter first, give us a little bit of background here. Let's start reading at the 13th verse, well, the 12th verse of the 3rd chapter of 2 Corinthians. Yes.
We use
great plainness of speech.
Yeah.
Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is up on his heart, their hearts. Yes. Nevertheless, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Continue. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. All right, now I want to stop there for a moment, because what it talks about here is the reason I wanted to do the third chapter the third chapter there was because it's talking about Moses. When he went up on the mountain, he got the Ten Commandments. And when he came back down on the mount, it was just a glorious, he had been in the presence of the Lord. So when a person is in the presence of the Lord, not only they know it, everybody else knows it around them. All right? So Moses could not, the children of Israel could not actually look on the face of Moses. They actually had to have, he had to put a veil on because of the glory of the Lord that permeated from his being, right? And so in the same way, and it's talking about this in essence, he was going up there to get what is now abolished. We have a much greater, we're not just going by the Ten Commandments. It's not that he goes up and he gets the law of Moses there. We have the law of Christ. We have something that's even greater, something that goes beyond that, the full fulfillment of the thing that gives us the ability to live a righteous and a holy life. What Moses did, he just made them aware and made them understand. When he brought it down from the mountain, they understood that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's husband or wife or whatever it may be. They had an understanding, but they did not have the power to resist the temptations of doing so. Now, what Jesus did, when Jesus came on this earth, what He did, He died on the cross, and He gives us the power not to bear false witness. He gives us the power not to kill. He gives us the power to do the things that we know that we should do and the things that we know we shouldn't do. He gives us the power to refrain from doing those things. That's wonderful, isn't it? So now, what this is talking about, and pray for us that we'll be able to share it in the way that the Lord would have us to. What this gives us a clarity and an understanding is that God is in complete control of everything. But here we have it here. He says in the fourth verse, I want to say, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. I believe in one sense, Paul was saying that, you know what, I'm not going to handle the word of God deceitfully. Do you believe that there are people today that handle the word of God deceitfully? It happens all the time. You got people that are preaching health and wealth, and they are, we're going to pass this out, we're going to lock the doors back there, and until we raise $10,000 or a commitment for $10,000 or whatever the amount is, then we're not going to let anybody out of the church. That happens all the time, doesn't it? And another thing that happens also is you send me all of your money, you send me a seed, what do they call it? You send me a seed of faith, and you send me a $500 or all the money in your savings account. This happens all the time. The Lord says if you're a cheerful giver, He'll give it right back to you, right? And so you have these individuals that are standing up, preaching the Word of God and handling it deceitfully, being dishonest about it. Listen, the Word of God is not about health and wealth. The Word of God is about you living right. This gospel message, what Jesus came and died for, was not for you to be rich and all that. Now, the Lord blesses us. I don't want you to get me wrong. The Lord blesses us, but that's not the seed or the essence of the gospel. The essence of the gospel is not me making a whole lot of money and you driving a Mercedes and all these other kind of things and living up in a Highland Park or wherever it is. That's not what the gospel message is about. The gospel message is about you living right day by day, treating your wife right, treating your husband right, treating your boss right. That's what it's all about. Now, let me tell you what happens if somebody is preaching, and I don't know why people flock to them. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's because they have this desire. They have this desire to be whatever they are. I don't know. But I want to tell you, saints of God, you get the Word of God for yourself. You understand it. You understand what God requires of you. You don't let some man, including me, you don't let some man tell you what the Word of God, just tell you what the Word of God says. Now, I want to clarify that for a moment. My job as a pastor, my job is to get the Word of God at the mouth of God and to give it to you, right? Your job is to read the Word, look at the Scriptures, verify whether or not I am putting it in a context that God intended for it to be. You have a brain. You have an understanding. You know what God requires. You know how the Lord deals with you and how the Lord talks to you. Your job is to make certain, Lord, I want to make certain that this is right according to how you're dealing with me as well. You understand what I'm saying? And the reason I say that, the reason I think that that's very important is because there are a lot of people right here today, there are people in services right today that don't have any idea what the Word of God says. They don't know the context in which the Scripture talks about whatever it is that the preacher is talking about. Your job is to read the Word of God, not just when you come to church. Your job is to read the Word of God when you go home. Your job is to sit down and listen to what the Lord is speaking to your heart. All right? Now, y'all with me? All right. So it says here, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, I want to tell you there are two kind of gods in this world. And it's talking about gods, the God of this world, and that's a little g. I want you to understand that. So it's not this God with the big G, is with the capital G, is the God of the universe, right? We learned a little bit about that in our Sunday school this morning. The God of the universe, this God is all kinds of things. People, we talked about it as we said in our Sunday school. It was a good Sunday school lesson. If you weren't here, you missed it. All right? Talking about little idols, all the things, all the gods that are around, little idols. And when you talk about the gods of this world, the God of this world has blinded our minds. Not necessarily our eyes. We can look at things, we see things, but it doesn't register as to what they are. Now, I don't know how true this is, but it makes a good point here. I've heard of people that were born blind, and when they maybe had some kind of procedure, and they were able to see after years and years and years, and then they were able to look at things, and when they looked at things, they were not able to comprehend what those things were until they touched them. All right? And the reason that they couldn't comprehend what they were is because for 40 years, or how many ever years, all their sight, their comprehension of the outside world was through feel. So you could say a flower, and this is a flower, but they have no idea because they had no concept in their mind. Their minds were literally, not only were their eyes blind, but their mind was blind. What is the sky? This is the sky up here. We've been taught that from a child up. I remember the other day we were riding from the airport and our little grandson was in there and he saw the moon up there. It was a full moon and he was saying, ball, ball, ball. He understood that it was a circle and it looked like a ball. And so we were saying, no, that's the moon. That's the moon. Now he has a concept of what the moon looks like. You can't tell that to a blind man. Now, there's this circle up here. You can give them a basketball. You can say it feels like this, it looks like this, and it's shaped like this, but he doesn't have the concept of what it looks like. He doesn't have the concept of what light looks like. So in the same way, what we're talking about here, the gods of the world has blinded people's minds. And sometimes people cannot understand maybe the gospel or message unless they feel something. You understand what I'm saying? Well, when I come to church, I want to feel. And so what we have is we have the gods of the world that are giving you feelings, something that you can touch. Why? Because you can't perceive it with your own eyes. Your mind has been blinded by the things maybe that you've been involved in. Maybe the things that you haven't been exposed to. Maybe someone has never told you that that thing, that circle, that ball up in the sky, so to speak, is the moon. And so when you come to a service like this and you hear about holiness and you hear about come to a church and you hear that there is a possibility of you living a holy and a righteous life. You've never heard that. You never heard the concept. Right? That you can live a life free from sin. Do you believe that? Well, that's what Jesus died for. Well, that concept, I don't understand. My daughter called me the other day. She said, Dad, somebody was asking me on my, I've got some friends, and they were asking me about, some kind of Facebook friends or something. They were saying, what's your controversial statement or whatever? I don't know do you remember what she said? Anyway, it was something that on that order. And she said, well, mine is that I believe that you can live free from sin. And one of her friends said, well, you know, I don't believe that's scriptural. She said, well, should I even work with it? I said, the Lord opened up the door. Absolutely. I said, and I don't have to defend the Lord. I don't have to defend what the Bible says. Here are the scriptures. You go to 1 John and it talks about, he that committed sin is of the devil. He came to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You go to Romans, the 6th chapter, and it talks about therefore being made free from sin. Now, why did Jesus die if you can't do it? People's minds are blinded because they're constantly being bombarded with certain things about people. This is why I tell you, you know the scripture for yourself. Brother Darrell, if you say you can live a righteous and a holy life, give me scripture that verifies that. I can give you scripture that verifies it. I can give you a scripture that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from how much most of your sins, all of them but the problems that I have. I can't do that, but what does it say? The blood of Jesus Christ does what? Cleanses us. It cleanses us up. And if you want to be clean, you can stay clean by the help and the grace of God, as according to Scripture. If you don't want to do it, if you want something in your mind that says there are some sin that I enjoy, let me tell you, there is an enjoyment to all sins. There is an enjoyment. When a person takes that first needle of heroin, there's this euphoria, I understand. I don't know. Never done it, thank the Lord. Or when they take somebody was talking to me yesterday about Colorado and how Colorado has allowed legalized marijuana. I think California has too, right? All right, so here's the point. There is some feel-good about it, or they wouldn't be talking about it, right? All right, but let me tell you, there's still also an aftermath. There is something that happens afterwards. Now, maybe marijuana is okay. Now, y'all understand what I'm saying. As far as these people are concerned. But then it's a gateway drug because at some point maybe it stops working. So it opens the door for something else. This is why we just teach you, don't do any of it. You're going to be better off if you don't do any of it, all right? It don't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter. What matters is that I've got to keep myself like I need to be. All right? So here we have it. May the Lord help us. Here we have it that there's something pleasurable about any sin that you commit. But then there's also a bite. There's also a bite to it. That when it's all over, the guilt and people know. And what are we trying to do nowadays? We're trying to say, you know what? I don't want to be guilty. I don't want to feel guilty. And so therefore, I don't come to church. Because I don't want the preacher up there preaching at me. Or listen, I have never preached at anybody. I want you to know that. If I touch on a subject that you're dealing with, the Lord is touching on the subject. So you take it as from the Lord. All right? And let me tell you, if I know something's going on in your life, let me just tell you how it is with me. It takes force for me to be able to say it. Why? Because I don't want to feel like I'm preaching at anybody. But you got to know the truth. Because I'm going to stand before the Lord at one time, and the Lord said, I told you to say that. On that day, at that particular time, because somebody was in the audience and needed to hear it, and you were afraid of their faces. I'm not going to do that. That's not going to happen. All right? So may the Lord help us to be faithful to the Lord and faithful to what we know the Lord would have us to do. So we have two gods. We have the God of the universe, the God of all creation. That's the one that we serve. And He has a gospel message. He has a message of good news that you can live a righteous and a holy life, that you can be delivered from sin, that you can be delivered from yourself, you can be delivered from the problems that you're having. God will give you deliverance. That's the God of the universe. But what He requires of you, what He requires of me, what He requires of all of us is that we submit ourselves to Him, that we follow to our level of understanding. See, you may not have the level of understanding that I have. And I may not have the level of understanding that this brother or this sister has. They may have far more understanding than I have, but I have to live to the level of understanding that God has given me. If I'm in the sixth grade, they don't expect me to live like a 12th grader or do the work of a 12th grader, right? And if I'm in the 12th grade, I'm not going to be a doctoral candidate and know all the things that they know. But ultimately, I know the principle. I know the basics of whatever it is that I need to know. And the Lord blesses us, and you continue to progress like that, right? So live where you are. This is what I tell folks. Live where you are. Don't try to live where I am. Let me tell you what every person can live. Every person can live a holy life. Every person. Well, Brother Darrell, you don't understand. My family is horrible, and I have to live right in the middle of my family. God will give you grace to live right in the middle of your family, and all of them are committing sin. Let me tell you, your light is shining to them. Yeah. And don't think that you're not having some kind of impact on your family. You are. Sometimes the reason they turn against you is because of the condemnation that they feel because you're just living right. What did the brother say in the Sunday school lesson this morning? He works in a firehouse, and everybody knows at a certain time when they put the movies in and they're inappropriate and all that, he's going to go somewhere and be by himself. Why? Because he knows what he can and cannot do. Right? He knows his own weaknesses. He knows who he is. Isn't that wonderful? And so, is he a coward? You're a little wimp? No! He's a smart man. I am too. What did the Scripture tell us? Shun the very appearance of it. I don't even want to look like. I don't even look like I'm trying to do something that I shouldn't be doing. That's the way that we do it, isn't it? Now, let me tell you what happens. The veil that was over Moses' face and what happens in individuals' lives is these people, the veil is still there, the Scripture that we read. The veil is still there. In some ways, when you begin to open up the Word of God, and I don't want to see it, I want to close my eyes, I don't want to see it, I don't want to be responsible for it, don't tell me. I'm putting my fingers in my ears, and I don't want to hear what you have to say, Brother Nero, because when I hear it, I'm going to be responsible. You're going to be responsible for it if you put your hands and your fingers in your ears. You know, because the Lord said, I told him to tell you this, and you didn't want to receive it. So now your mind is blinded. So let me tell you, let's go a little farther here. So the God of this world, what is the God of this world? Help me. Anything that you put above the God of the universe, right? All right, so we have all kinds of things that we can put in. Now, I'm going to use a couple things. One of the things that we have in our nation, and not just in our nation, in the world in general, one of the things that we see is very a God. It's sports, right? So we got sports. Now, sports in itself, I mean, for me to go, we've got a little basketball court out there, a little basketball goal that the boys go out there and they shoot the basketball, and it's enjoyable. We're not emulating. We're not trying to be professionals and all those kinds of things, all right? But here's my point. My point is, for a good recreation, I don't believe it's wrong. Amen. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that, right? But let me tell you what happens. These people, I don't know anything about how much money they make, but they make millions of dollars throwing a little bat, a ball, through a hoop. Millions of dollars. Throwing a ball across the field. And when you really think about it, throwing a ball across the field, catching it, and then somebody jumping on top of you to stop you. Think about it. And they're making millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And there are people that are, listen, they'll not go to church because of the Super Bowl. Why do they have the Super Bowl on Sunday? Probably to keep people from going to church anyway. People don't go to church very much anymore. So anyway, the whole point is, so we've got sports and we've got the entertainment world. If you were to look at individuals, entertainment. Now listen, in one sense, all of us want to be entertained. Right? The brothers got together yesterday and we fellowshiped one with another. Now, we didn't do anything foolish or anything that was untowards, according to the scripture. We didn't do anything like that. We ate. We ate some hamburgers. They did. I didn't. Ate some hamburgers and hot dogs and a bunch of meat. A bunch of meat. It was good, apparently, because it was good. All right? We got together and we enjoyed one another's company. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's good because the Lord wants us to do it. We get together at family reunions. We get together on various occasions and whatnot. But when we look at the world in general, the entertainment world, actors and people, we lift them up. If Oprah Winfrey walked through the door, everybody would be awestruck. She is nobody. Who is Oprah Winfrey? Who is one of the great... Here's a point that I want to make. I happen to have not seen her. I was where she was speaking when someplace several years ago. And everybody was awestruck about Oprah Winfrey because she's a billionaire. And if somebody walked through that was this great actor or whoever it was, Denzel Washington, whoever, you know what? The Lord has had to show me because I was in that. I was pursuing that at one time in my life. At the very beginning, the Lord has shown me how foolish it is. And we lift those people up for no reason. They have nothing. And rather than lifting the Lord up, we lift them up and they become our idols. So now, what do we have? We have this little phone that we have, and we can watch movies, and we can watch the sports, and we can watch all the things that are in this world, and what's happening because we're doing it. Well, I just want something to take my mind off of everything, so I'm going to watch this good movie, and all these kinds of things. And what happens? Those movies suggest things. Have you ever watched something, and it's suggesting something that you know isn't right? Oh, you know it. We know we have. Right? If you've seen anything on the television, if you've seen anything anywhere, it suggests things to you. So what happens, these gods of this world, they can dull our senses and dull our minds and create something. Let's just use this for an example. Why do they promote certain people? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that why does this person maybe came from nothing? And now they are promoted and they're making a lot of money. And you can tell that they came from poor backgrounds. And that's their story. And so now why do they do that? Why do they do that? They do it for a reason. We think that, oh, this person has really risen to the top and they've got an Oscar and all those kinds of things. And these are things that are glorified in the God of this world. They glorify these things. And if we're not careful, we absorb those things. And our minds are affected by what they present to us. All right? Oh, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But there's a reason why they do that, because people can identify with a rapper that came from the hood, and now he's got a grill, and he's got money, and he's got women, he's got all of this. Do you suppose that that's affecting the little boy out there that's coming from the hood and gives him an opportunity to say, you know what, there's an opportunity for me to get out of here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to be a rapper. So it affects them, and it affects millions of them. And those little boys are struggling trying to do that, or maybe a basketball. I'm really going to be good at basketball, so therefore I'm going to be the next LeBron James. And so therefore they push, they forget about all the men that are good. You know, when I was a boy, they would say, what do you want to be? Well, I'm going to be a fireman. I'm going to be a policeman. These were our heroes, right? Nothing wrong with that. We need firemen. We need policemen, don't we? Or I'm going to be a businessman. But now what are you saying? Well, you know what? I'm going to be a ball player. I'm going to be all these gods of the world. And the reason that I'm bringing this point out is because what we watch and what we see could dull our senses and dull our minds and blind us. Blind us to what really is right. You know what happens? Those individuals, let me tell you something, because I know a little bit of something about it. Not a whole lot, but a little bit of something about it. When you get when you look at all of the things that have happened to all these people that have been in the entertainment world, are they still married to the same woman or man for the 35, 40 years? No! Are their lives, have they been in rehab 2 or 3 times? Yes! Are they struggling with certain things and their own demons, they say? Have they been struggling with that? And it's not just their own demons. It's literal demons. All right? Are they struggling with those kinds of things? Yes. Why? Because of the God of this world is blinded their mind. It's made them believe that this is what all glory is. And when what really is glory is us sitting in a little church like this. Not very many people. Nobody knows that we're very much about us. But what we know is that the folks live right. They're endeavoring to please the Lord. They're not heroes on the circuit where the world knows their name, but they're heroes to the Lord. God knows our names. God is there with us. And when we pray, and when someone comes down to an altar of prayer and they ask the Lord to forgive them their sin, God hears it. And no, we don't have a big house over there or over in where all the rich folks live. But let me tell you, we've got a mansion in heaven. That's what you need to see. That's what your mind that need to be blinded by. That you've got something that I'm going to die at some point and I don't know when I'm going to die. And over on the other side, there is what is called forever. There is eternity forever and ever and ever. And I'm going to be there. Whether I want to be there or not, there is no way for me to miss it. According to the Scripture. And so therefore, my job is to make certain, Lord, if I'm going to be there, I want to make certain that I'm in the right place when I go there. Two places to go. One is heaven, where there is a mansion for me, and I'm going to be on the streets of gold with Jesus, not with LeBron James or Oprah Winfrey. Nothing wrong with those people. I love them. I love their soul. But what I'm saying is, it's far more important for me to know Jesus than to know them. Isn't it? Yes. Then what I'm going to have to do, then I can get, well, you know what, they got a whole bunch of money. Whoever they are, we don't even have to call their names. Whoever they are, they got a whole lot of money. But Jesus got more than that. So you know what, let me tell you, I've been in a situation, I've told you stories about it, I've told you little stories that we were praying for the Lord to give us some money. Oh, did He give us $3.5 million? No. But He gave us $300 when we needed it. We prayed and the Lord did it. These are not stories by other people. Don't let the God of this world blind your mind where you're striving and you're going after the things of this world. Let me tell you, I was like that at one time in my life. Ambitious. I wanted everything. And as I was going for it, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, don't do that. That's not what's right. He said, your eyes are blinded. Your mind is blinded. You are lifting this up, this God up, when you need to lift this God up. You're wanting it the way you feel like it needs to be. Why? Because that's what the world says is good. So if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. All right. God of this world has blinded. blindeth the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I don't know why the Lord does this, but He does it. He veils Himself. And I know sometime I've been in a situation where He said in one place to the disciple, He said, I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them yet. So He reveals Himself a little bit at a time. And He veils Himself in that that people that are just in the general public, He was right there, He was the Messiah, and they didn't know it. But they would have known it had they just listened to the words that He spoke. And if their heart was in the right place. So one of the things that we have to make certain of is my heart, your heart, our heart must be in the right place. All right, let's go a little farther here. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Let's read a little bit there, 17 and 18. If you have it, read it for us, please. Ephesians 4. Yes. Yes. Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind. So in other words, He's saying, don't walk like everybody else. And you know, one of the things that we want to do, one of the first things that we want to do, and I understand this, I'm a person too. I live in a society, and I'm influenced by what other people do as well. So He said, but don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk. What we tend to want to do, what's happening in the world today, what's happening in the church today, and when I say church, I'm talking about churchdom, Christendom. I'm not just talking about specific church. What's happening is whatever the world is doing, we do the same thing. Whatever. Let me say, Brother Darrell, now I am all for technology. I believe that what we're doing is live streaming this sermon, right? We're live streaming our service. There's nothing wrong with that. All right? But let me tell you what happens. What tends to happen is that if we're not careful, there tends to be a production in Christendom in general. All right? Now, what's interesting to me is we had one of our pews broke, and we had to... company that came out to that we bought them from come out and they fixed it for us. And so I was talking with the owner of the company, and we were just having a good conversation, and he was just asking how is the attendance. And I said, you know, of course the Lord's blessed our attendance, but our attendance has done this, gone up and down, right? So in other words, over the course of time that I've been here, if everybody was still coming to church, period, then this would be too small of a place to hold them. Am I right? Those that have been with us for a long time, it would be too small of a place. We would have had to get a bigger auditorium. And so what's happening is people in general, their minds are being blinded. They feel like you don't have to go to church in order to be a Christian. And technically, you don't. I have to say that. I have to say, technically, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You can be a Christian right at home. But there's a reason that the Lord says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, generally, if you're not going to be in church, there needs to be a very good reason that you're not in there, not just because you're tired and you don't want to go and you just whatever. It needs to be a good reason that you don't go to church, right? And so having devotion on your bedside is good, but it's not what's ideal, because there are things that the Lord, there's things that we get from one another right here in the service that I can't get by myself. Oh, I'm the preacher, I'm preaching, but listen, I got a benefit from the Sunday school lesson. I got a benefit from the testimonies, from the songs. I was encouraged by the brother being encouraged by what happened yesterday. I'm encouraged by those things, right? And so I need you. I need you. Oh, Brother Darrell, you're the pastor. We need you more than we... No, I need you equally as much as you need me. Amen. I'm not any better than you. Who would I preach to if you weren't there? So here's what he was saying to me. He said, you know what? He said, I go to a church there, and he said, there's not a lot of people there anymore. A lot of people don't go to church anymore. They go to the big mega churches, the big churches that put on the production, the big churches that have this level of entertainment. You're going to have some good singing because I feel it. I feel something. And this person walks up there and the spotlight is on them, and it's like a stage production, isn't it? Spotlight is on them. They have their microphone and they get all into it. Some of them get all into it to the point that they get down on their knees and have all the church doing like this. You know what? And listen, I'm not against you getting all excited about the Lord, because sometimes I think we're not excited enough. All right? You understand what I'm saying? But what I'm saying here is this God here has brought in entertainment, and now I don't want to go to y'all's church because it's too dull. Y'all don't even have no instruments. It's too dull. Why? Because now I'm entertained. I need to be entertained. I feel that I need to be entertained when all you really need is the Word of God, and you need a little bit of encouragement through the song. So now what we got, what we need to do, we need to take this little thing off, and we need to put a big screen here, and we need to put a big screen over there, and we need to have somebody back there projecting it so everybody, I'm larger than life. That's what I'm used to when we go to the movies. So now if you don't have that, so this is why in the mega churches, they're bringing people and they've got this. They've taken the entertainment. Lord, help us. Oh, Brother Darrell, see, there you go. There you go. You're just getting into play things you shouldn't get into. These things right here are affecting people's minds. So now in order, listen, we do it with our children. And a child can't learn math. 2 + 2 = 4. Now you got to have a little song. I ain't against songs. You understand what I'm saying? But we are conditioning our children to be distracted. They can't sit still for very long. Lord, help us. Are y'all still with me? So he says, you know what? I've gone to several churches. And this is a man. He said, there have been different denominations. He said, you know what? Everybody's having problems with folks coming to church. Now, folks want to say, oh, it's because of what you teach. No, it's because the world is blinded. Their minds are blinded. And so he said, you know what, I went into a place, and it was a church, it was a couple of churches, and he said, one of them had 127 pews, we only have about 40. 127 pews, so it's much bigger than what we have. And he said what he did, he said they wanted us to take the pews out, get new pews, and then space them, make the aisles wider, space them, so it looks like we have more people than what we've got, but we're going to take 50 of those pews out. So they went from 127 to 50, so that's about 75, right? So now that when they walk in, it looks like there's more people there than it was before. He said it was one denomination, and he had to go and do it for another denomination. The reason I'm bringing these points out is because nowadays what you're finding is that people just don't come to church. It's not important. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded their minds. Now what you have all people that are experts. People are experts on anything. I can tell you what's wrong with you. Tell me the symptoms. Google. And I can tell you, oh, you probably got such and such. You should go get that checked out. That's what people do. They're experts at something. They don't know anything about what they're talking about. And here we are. We're in the church. And now folks are experts in the church. I ain't going to theology school, and you don't have to go to be an expert. But let me tell you, you ain't even prayed. You ain't even prayed this week, and now you know what I need to do. Lord, have mercy. God of this world blinded their minds. Their minds are blinded. They don't have an understanding. Now, what do we read here? Continue reading. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, the blindness of their mind, the blindness of their heart. You remember when the children of Israel, or not children, the disciples were on the sea, and it started to, Jesus was walking by, and the winds and the waves and all those kinds of things. You know what? They were afraid, and the Lord calmed the wind for them. Remember that? All right, he calmed the wind, and you know what he said after that? He said, did you not remember the loaves, the fishes and the loaves? He said, well, your heart hardened? Is your mind dulled to the point that you don't know that God is going to take care of you no matter what it is that you're going through? God's going to take care of you. Amen. Don't let your minds be blinded. Don't let the gods of this world tell you what's best for you. Lord, help us. Okay, being alienated, having their understanding darkened. So what does that mean? I understood at one point. Now my understanding is darkened. You know, for some reason I'm not getting through these messages. All the way, I guess I am getting through them. I guess what the Lord wants me to say. Understanding is darkened. So in other words, I had an understanding, and now my understanding is not where it once was. It's darkened. And you know what it takes? One of the requirements that it takes for us to see, a requirement is light. There's no way to see unless you have some level of light. All right? The less light you have, the less you can see. And so the understanding that you have, so what happens is, let's say you start, when we first get saved, there is a progression, all right? You get saved, or even if you're not saved, there is a coming to the Lord, all right? And the Lord kind of enlightens your mind. He just tells you, you know what, there's something about your life that you're not satisfied with and I'm not satisfied with. That's what the Lord told me. So I'm not completely satisfied with it. And the Lord didn't. I haven't been in a situation where the Lord just comes and lays judgment on me. And this is why I don't preach a judgment like that. Because it's not been my experience. It's not been what the Lord has done. And so the Lord comes in and He pricks your heart and He says, you know what? There's some things that you're doing that I'm not completely satisfied. And you say, well, Lord, I'm not completely satisfied with it either. I'm enjoying it. You know, when I was out in sin, I was enjoying, kind of semi-enjoying. I really didn't enjoy it very much, but there were some things that I did enjoy. And the Lord pricked my heart and He said, you know what? I don't like that. And then I said, you know what, Lord? I don't like the aftertaste. So there are some things that we don't partake of because we don't like the aftertaste, in a literal sense, right? And so in the same way, Lord, the sin seemed like it was fun while it lasted, and then when it was all gone, it was like it left a bitter taste in my mouth, and I can't get rid of that bitter taste. And so the Lord tells us, I'm not satisfied with that. And then we say, all right, Lord, I'm not satisfied either. Take it away. Take it away. And we come down to an altar prayer, whether that's at our bedside, whether that's driving down the street, whatever. And then we say, Lord, take it out of my heart. Amen. And the Lord does that. Amen. And what is that? That's a little bit of light. Yes. And then He shows us why this is not a good idea. And then it's a little bit more light. And then as we get, as we have a deeper understanding, we become enlightened to some things. And we have understanding about some things, spiritual things and whatnot. We have understanding, as, Lord, why do You not want me to do like this? Why do You not want me? Well, maybe it's, well, Lord, why do You not want me to dress like this? Well, Daryl, if you dress like this, is it wrong? No, but let me tell you, if you got on a muscle shirt, too many women are going to be looking at you. I know I'm old and I know ain't no women looking at me, but it might be. You understand what I'm saying? So the Lord tells you how to dress. All right, you need to get out of that. That's a little too tight there, brother. That's a little bit too much. And you need to stop looking in the mirror so much. There's something about you. You thinking you cute. The Lord tells us that kind of thing about us, about ourselves, doesn't He? Are y'all with me? He tells us in that light. And then when I decide in my mind, I don't want to do this. All right, that's just too much. I'm not going to do it. Then what happens is my understanding begins to dim. That the things that I once understood is not pleasing to God. Now listen, we're not even talking about the church, and I'm going to stop in a moment. We'll have to pick it up maybe next time, Lord willing. But I'm not even talking about what the church sees. I'm talking about what God speaks to your heart about, and the Lord talks to our heart. And so let me tell you, what happens is people want to say, Lord, I don't want You to talk to me anymore. This is what's happening in our world today. In our world today, you remember how when same-sex marriage came out and how everybody was in an uproar? You hear anybody talking about it now? No, you know why? Because they put certain people out front that are in those kinds of lifestyles and they lift those people up and we worship them in essence. Everybody likes them. Everybody likes what's an Ellen. All right? But they, whatever kind of lifestyle. Listen, we just call it, she the one that put it out. I don't have to know what you do in your private life. Why is that necessary for me to know? Why is it necessary for the Lord to know, for the world to know? It's necessary for the world to know because they are promoting an agenda.
That's right.
Lord, help us. They're promoting an agenda. There is an agenda in this world, and it's part of that agenda is to blind our minds. Why do we need to know what the Kardashians or whoever they are, why do we need to know what they wore on the red carpet? Why do we need to know that? Because they are promoting something. Lord, help us. And what they're doing, the more we see it, here's what happened. The more you see something, the more you don't see it. The more you see it, the more they put it in your face and put it in your face, it just becomes the norm. So now it's something that you see in your periphery. It's not something that you know. It's something that you accept, something that you embrace. And so what happens is, in the church, if we're not careful, we as the church people, we will embrace the things of the world and our minds will be blinded. We won't see it. We won't see it as wrong. We won't see Brother Daryl coming in. Let me tell you, I ain't going to call his name. There was a preacher I saw in one of them. He had a nice suit. It was orange, and the sleeves were cut out. It was a nice suit, and it went down. I'm not going to tell you what he was, what ethnic group he was in. But it was about right here, and he was a preacher, and he was preaching. He'd been working out, so his abs were showing. Huh? Bicep. Oh, where's the ab? I don't know where. Okay. You see how much I work out, right? All right, his biceps were showing. And he's in a pulpit preaching, and we don't see that. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, that's a sharp suit he got on. Nice suit he got on. Why did he need that? Why did he need that? Lord, help us. You know what? What happens is when you present those kinds of things over and over and over and over to people, they stop seeing it as wrong. So right now, we're not going to fight same-sex marriage. We're not going to fight the spirit of homosexuality. We're not going to fight any of those things because we see it all the time. And so what I want to say here is the God of this world has blinded the mind. So now you can go to a church and you can anything can be accepted. You can accept anything. Anything you want to do, you can do it. You can find a church that embraces that. You just try to live the best that you can. That's handling the word of God deceitfully. Just live the best that you can. You don't have to be delivered from that. Nobody's going to make you feel guilty, and we should not. My God, my job is not to make you feel guilty. My job is to present the word of God to you. And the Lord speaks to our hearts. The Lord tells us whether or not the thing that we're doing is right or wrong. Brother Daryl doesn't have to say, you don't need to do that, sister. Brother, that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. I promise you I will not do it. And in the 30 years that I've been here, I haven't done it. I don't believe anybody can say that that's what I'm coming up there, measuring everybody up, seeing how long your skirt is, seeing whether or not, whatever it is, seeing whether or not I don't care what you do. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That's between you and the Lord. If you can get away with the Lord, you can get away with it with me. Because the Lord is your relationship with the Lord. I'm going to teach you how to get closer to God. I'm going to illuminate and give you a deeper understanding of how to get closer to the Lord. Because ultimately that's what you want. That's where happiness lies. I found in my own experience that the way for me to be happy is to get as close to the Lord as I possibly can. The closer I get to Him, the happier I am. And there are going to be some things that the Lord said, Daryl, I don't want you to do that anymore. You know what? I'm going to tell you something about. Excuse me for using myself. I was a spiffy dresser before I got married. I would have on all this spiffy kind of stuff. Whatever the latest style was, that's what kind of thing that I would wear. I was blind. So my wife wasn't, but you know what the first gift that she gave me was? She gave me some pants this color. Almost exactly like this. And a gray shirt. So in other words, she said, look, if we're going to get married, you are going to have to dress down. Right? She was always more conservative. I was always the one that was not nearly as conservative as I am now. But I didn't understand it. You know what? There's that blind side that we were talking about last Sunday. That blind side. I thought I was looking cute. It was the latest fashion. It was everybody was doing. I was right on the cutting edge, and I was saved. Sure was. Living to everything I knew and understood until light illuminated. I'm thinking, why did you give me this dull stuff? I mean, I'd wear yellow and pink and all these other kind of things that I didn't need to be wearing. And then all of a sudden she tells me, the light bulb comes on. I'm illuminated. And the Lord began to deal with my heart and to show me how blind I was. So now she doesn't, she wears, buys my clothes sometimes and sometimes she doesn't. But we know, see, I'm going a little bit too long, but I'm going to go just a little bit longer, y'all, and I'm going to be done. By the help and the grace of God. Here's the point. The Lord began to deal with me. She didn't. But that was the catalyst that began to say, well, maybe I should examine where I am. Not just because I want this, I want to marry her, not because of that, but because, Lord, what is it? And the Lord began to talk to me. And the Lord began to show me what I needed to adjust and what I needed to change. And listen, nothing, you can say it was modest as far as covering my body was concerned, but it wasn't necessarily modest because of what it was. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord has a right to put His finger on those kinds of things. Lord, help us. All right. All right, so it says here, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So there are some things that make us that makes us blind, and our blindness is because of our ignorance. So we can be ignorant about a whole lot of things. We can have a lack of understanding. This is why I say to you, this is why I say to listen, yes, come to church. You need to come to church because what God does is in a message much like this, the Lord expounds and on a particular thing that maybe you didn't even think of, right? And then the Lord plants a little seed in your mind that you need to go to the Scripture and you need to open up the Scripture and you need to have an understanding, because I never even thought about my minds being blind. I never even thought about the things that they are bombarding us with. Do you think that that is not important? Do you think that they have not literally done research to know what people, you know, they knew that we were going to reject it, and we were going to reject it, and we're going to reject it, and after about the third or fourth time of our rejecting, we're just going to submit to it. And that's what they're doing. And so now, everywhere you see, they're presenting those things to us. And the God of this world, in the entertainment world, and in the sports world, the God of this world is blinding our minds. We don't understand what we have embraced and what we have normalized. We don't understand it because our minds are blinded. And so, saints, here's the important thing for us to get a hold of. Don't let your minds be blinded. You know what? If somebody's going to do a big bright light, don't look at it. Let me tell you something. Have you ever watched a television, and have you ever just been in nowadays you have theater rooms. I'm in real estate, and now they have a theater room. And the theater room, generally, big screen here, and it's dark. No windows. The big, nice, plush seats. You go into these houses, you got a big, nice theater room. And have you ever noticed how when you go outside of that theater room and it's all dark in there and it's some movie is playing? This is just life, isn't it? Some movie is playing. Have you ever just not looked at it? Just turn your back to it and see how lights are flashing. How it's just flashing, constantly flashing, right? It's going from one scene to another. They never stay on one scene too long because they know that it's been scientifically, psychologically determined that only a few seconds you're going to stay on a scene, and you're going to pan out and you're going to give them something else. And you know what happens? Our minds, it affects our minds. It affects, it holds us. It grabs us and it holds us right there because it's not too, it's something else. We've got to see what else is going to happen. And let me tell you, what's happening is we're looking at this thing and it's affecting our minds. It's affecting what we see, what we believe. They present some. Well, they always have. Have you ever seen how they have these conflicted heroes? Heroes that have problems. We're not perfect. Do you think that that's just by accident? Well, this is how it used to be. That one had a white hat and one had a black hat. And you knew which one was bad and you knew which one was good. And you start on a movie nowadays. Listen, I'm just telling y'all where it is. Right? You start on them nowadays and what happened? One is not. Oh, well, you think this is the good guy, and he ends up being the bad guy. You think this is the bad guy, and he ends up being the good guy. Lord help us. How do you know that, Brother Darrell? Oh, I've seen enough. Lord help us. May the Lord help us. The God of this world has blinded our minds. Don't let your mind be blinded. Don't let your mind be blinded. Don't allow the enemy to come in and insert things into your mind and blind you from what this Word of God says. If our gospel be hid, it is hid from them who the God of this world has blinded their minds. May the Lord help us. We don't want our heart to be hardened. We don't want to be in a place where the enemy is taking advantage of us. May the Lord help us ever be clear and clear in our vision for the things of God. Pray for me.